Good morning and welcome to Simply Finance. It's Saturday, April 6th. On today's show, RBI imposes penalties on IDFC First Bank and LIC Housing Finance for non-compliance. Plus, we take a look at how Greenville County finances roads and the latest updates from the City Finance Commission meeting. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Finance. We start off with a significant development in the finance sector. The Reserve Bank has imposed penalties on IDFC First Bank and LIC Housing Finance for violation of certain loan norms. IDFC First Bank has been fined 1 crore, while LIC Housing Finance has been penalized 49.70 lakh. Here to discuss this further is James, a correspondent for Simply Finance. Can you tell us more about these penalties and the reasons behind them?
Certainly, David. The penalty on IDFC First Bank has been imposed for non-compliance with certain directions on loans and advances, statutory and other restrictions. The bank had sanctioned term loans to a public sector undertaking for financing infrastructure projects without conducting due diligence on the viability and bankability of the projects. The repayment of these loans was made out of budgetary resources.
And what about LIC Housing Finance? What led to their penalty?
LIC Housing Finance was fined for breach of norms. The company did not comply with certain provisions of the Fair Practices Code. Specifically, it did not disclose the rate of interest and approach for gradation of risk and rationale for charging different rate of interest to different categories of borrowers in loan application forms and sanction letters. Additionally, it charged prepayment penalty in housing loans on a floating rate basis, which was pre-closed from any source, and a fixed rate basis, which was pre-closed from borrowers' own sources.
So these penalties are essentially for non-compliance with regulatory norms. But do they have any implications on the validity of the transactions or agreements these institutions had with their customers?
No. These penalties are based on deficiencies in regulatory compliance and do not pronounce upon the validity of any transaction or agreement entered into by them with their respective customers.
I see. And there's also news about the cancellation of certificates of registration for some non-banking financial companies. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes, the Reserve Bank has cancelled the certificate of registration of 4 non-banking financial companies, or NBFCs. These are Kundal's Motor Finance, Nithya Finance, Bhatia Hire Purchase, and Jivanjyoti Deposits and Advances. As a result, these companies cannot transact the business of a non-banking financial institution. Additionally, 5 other NBFCs have voluntarily surrendered their certificates of registration.
That was a significant development indeed. Thank you, James. Now shifting gears to local news, Greenville County leaders are considering a 1 cent sales tax to generate funds for road and bridge repairs. The tax is projected to generate $1 billion over 8 years. We have Abby here to discuss the road funding challenges in Greenville County. Abby, could you tell us more about the situation?
Certainly, David. Hesha Gamble, Greenville's Assistant County Administrator for Engineering and Public Works, has stated that Greenville is lagging behind other counties in terms of road funding. The county is experiencing record growth in residents and tourists, and inflated road repair costs have created a significant challenge. Additionally, Greenville is spending less on roads than other counties.
How does Greenville's road revenue compare to that of other counties?
In 2023, Greenville generated $12 million from county taxes for road revenue. In comparison, Spartanburg generated $100.6 million, Charleston $93 million, and Richland $55 million. All counties also receive federal and state funding from the gas tax. Last year, Greenville received about $74 million combined from each gas tax and $12 million from the road maintenance fee. Despite this, they're still not keeping up with the necessary repairs.
What are the potential solutions to increase funding for road repairs?
There are a few options on the table. The county could raise the road maintenance fee or require developers to invest more in roads. However, Gamble believes that even with these measures, Greenville may still lag behind. she suggests that a 1% sales tax over 8 years could significantly improve the condition of the roads. The revenue from this tax would be equivalent to 87 years with the current road maintenance fee.
What is the projected growth for Greenville County, and how does this factor into the road funding issue?
Gamble has stated that the county is expected to experience a 35% growth in jobs and residents by 2024. This rapid growth necessitates preparation and investment in infrastructure, including roads. The county has created a website that breaks down funding and priority road projects to keep residents informed.
Thanks for those insights, Abby. Now, shifting our focus to South Pasadena, the Finance Commission has recommended City Council approval of the Finance Department's mid-year budget review following weeks of heated debate over the city's financial viability and the quality of financial data it's been providing. Celeste, our correspondent for Simply Finance, is here to delve into this issue. Can you give us some background on this situation?
Certainly, David. This recommendation comes after a period of intense scrutiny of the city's financial practices. The Finance Commission had expressed dissatisfaction with the financial reporting practices of the staff and the information presented in support of the mid-year review. This led to a delay in approval until, as Commission Chair Peter Giuliani put it, they received the level of clarity they needed.
What were the main concerns raised by the Finance Commission?
The Commission was particularly alarmed by a report the City Council received from city contractor NHA Advisors. This report projected up to $3.9 million in annual general fund deficits over the next 5 years, in addition to existing deficits for the current and previous fiscal years. This led to the creation of an ad hoc committee to scrutinize municipal finances.
And what was the outcome of the ad hoc committee's scrutiny?
The ad hoc committee, composed of Giuliani, Commission Vice Chair Shayla Rossi, and two city council members, spent considerable time reviewing the data. They found that while staff appropriation requests were reasonable, they needed more time to review data requested from finance. They recommended pausing non-essential hiring and spending in the meantime.
I understand there was some controversy involving the ad hoc committee and the city council. Can you elaborate on that?
Yes, there was indeed some controversy. Councilmember John Primuth accused Rossi of making false statements and claimed the ad hoc committee overstepped its mandate. He also criticized the committee for delaying the mid-year review despite finding the finance staff appropriation requests reasonable. Councilmember Michael Cacciotti echoed Primuth's sentiments, claiming the ad hoc committee's actions undermined staff morale.
How did the Finance Commission respond to these accusations?
Commission Chair Giuliani defended Rossi, stating that she was simply pointing out problems that needed to be addressed. He also disputed the claim that staff input wasn't sought for the committee's presentation. Rossi herself requested an apology for the public comments made by city council members questioning her integrity.
What are the next steps for the city in terms of its budget review?
The city council is set to take final action on the mid-year review on April 17th. The city will then kick off the new budget with issues that have been raised, including vacancies and staffing levels, short and long-term considerations, and revenue opportunities. The city is also seeking public input on the budget process through a survey open until May 14th.
Thanks for the insight, Celeste. Now, shifting our focus to the world of finance, where big deals are getting even bigger. Despite concerns about the Biden administration's opposition to major mergers, takeovers worth at least $10 billion more than doubled in the first quarter. This includes Home Depot's $18.25 billion acquisition of materials provider SRS Distribution and Apollo Global Management's $11 billion offer for Paramount Global's studio division. Here to delve deeper into this trend is our correspondent, Bella. So Bella, what's driving this surge in large-scale deals?
Well, according to Goldman Sachs' Andre Kellners, we're in the early stages of a cyclical M&A rally. The second quarter is showing no signs of a slowdown, with private equity firm Silver Lake taking talent agency Endeavor Group Holdings private at a $13 billion valuation. Total deal-making in the first quarter was $725 billion, a 24% jump from last year.
That's quite a significant increase. How are law firms responding to this uptick in major deals?
Law firms are gearing up for this surge in mega deals. Lateral partner hiring by the biggest firms, particularly among corporate lawyers, was up about 20% in the first 2 months of 2024. There's plenty of work on the horizon, with companies like clothing maker Gildan Activewear boasting a roughly $6 billion market cap up for sale.
What about the potential for even larger deals? Are there any on the horizon?
Absolutely. There's talk of a mega deal involving TikTok, which, at its owner's current valuation, would be bigger than all of the first quarter's mega deals combined. However, this deal is dependent on various factors, including decisions by the Senate and China.
Interesting. But it seems like this surge in big deals isn't uniform across all regions. Can you tell us more about that?
That's correct. While mega deals are thriving in some regions, they're not faring as well in others. For instance, in the Asia-Pacific region, M&A fell 28% in the first quarter. This is reflected in China's stock markets, where traders are dealing with the debut of smaller companies as several major initial public offerings have been pulled recently.
That's a fascinating contrast. Thanks for the insights, Bella. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Finance. We'll see you back here tomorrow.